This Fab FM podcast is proudly brought to you by Bendigo Bank, Port Douglas and Mosman, offering a full range of competitive banking products and technology you'd expect from a big bank with the personal service and care you'd expect from us. Drop into your nearest branch at Port Village Shopping Centre or Front Street Mosman. Bendigo Bank, the better big bank.
Catherine Britt, I've got her standing by at the moment, and her story, music-wise, is a fascinating one, a gal in the right place at the right time. Legendary performer Elton John first heard Catherine during one of his Australian tours in the early 2000s, and so impressed with Catherine was Elton John that he took her albums back to America and helped get her a deal with RCA Records.
Now I'm 46 miles from
Catherine's recording career commenced in 1999 when, at the age of 14, she released her first EP, followed in 2001 by her debut album release. Since then, she's released six more studio albums as well as a best of album. She probably needs a new mantelpiece for her awards. The other one is definitely full up. A CMAA Female Artist of the Year Award, Single of the Year, Female Artist of the Year, Female Artist of this and that, and 2017 Vocal Awards from APRA. It goes on and on and on. Catherine was also presented with the CMA Global Artist of the Year Award, which means she crosses international borders. Well, she did, pre-COVID, of course. Catherine's immense talent has also been seeing her tour, perform and record with some of music's most respected names, and I'll just rattle off a few of these. You keep yourself in good company. Catherine for sure, Casey Chambers, Paul Kelly, Sir Elton John, Steve Earle, Dolly Parton, Don McLean, Chris Isaak, Brooks and Dunn, Alan Jackson, Guy Clark, Keith Urban. Name after name comes up. Catherine remains the youngest Australian ever to perform at the Grand Old Opry at the age of 17. She's a TV and radio host and is the managing editor and owner of Australia's only roots music magazine called Rhythms, and founder and festival director of the prestigious Silverton Sunsets Music Festival. Catherine's new album is entitled Home Truths, and this album is also a new beginning for this homegrown artist. It's Catherine's first release in over 20 years as a completely independent Australian artist. It's a decision based on Catherine wanting complete control of her career and having ownership of her own recording masters and copyrights. But it wasn't entirely her own decision. Her fans had a little bit to say about it. The crowdfunding campaign was a massive statement of the belief in her by her fans as a person, her music, her songs, everything. Also, very importantly, all the songs on Home Truths, the album, were written or co-written by Catherine. This Aussie girl from Newcastle, New South Wales, backed herself at the age of 17. She moved for 6 years to Nashville, where she gained valuable experience in what is needed to be a success in this sometimes tough game. Her brand new single is called Favourite Song, and it is a beauty. But at this stage, let's talk to the lady herself, Catherine Britt. Good morning. Welcome to Fab FM.
Good morning. Wow, what an intro. I feel very special.
Well, what a career.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely amazing. Now, I've got to let people know, of course, we mentioned that you come from Newcastle. The wonderful Miss World Jennifer Hawkins came from there. I had the pleasure of attending a party at her parents' place with her, Jen, her boyfriend, Jake, after she won Miss World. So I've got to ask you the question first up. What's in the water in Newcastle that turns out beautiful and talented women?
Oh, well, that's very nice, A and B. I don't know. There just seems to be a lot of people that, well, not a lot. I guess there has been a lot of musos come out of Newcastle. I mean, Jennifer Hawkins is another thing altogether. But, yeah, I don't know. Newcastle's a beautiful place. Maybe that's why we produce beautiful, talented people.
And footballers as well.
And
I notice in your song it mentions the Knights.
Yes, that is very true. Yes, a reference to my childhood, going to many football games with my dad and my brothers. So, Knights and the Sharkies, I think it says, yeah.
There you go. Well, we love Newcastle. Let's talk about, first up, let's start at the beginning. Well, not right at the beginning of when you were born, but let's talk about Elton John and how important his initial help was in furthering your career. What was that like to have somebody of that calibre take an interest in you?
Yeah, amazing. I mean, you know, it was definitely life-changing for me as far as my career was kind of on a path that was already feeling pretty good, but that just sort of excelled it overnight, you know, to a next level sort of thing. I mean, just having him say things about me, and basically that's what got me overseas and got me a record deal over there and all that sort of stuff. So, and he's continued to, you know, be supportive and helpful throughout my career. So I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Catherine, who did you grow up listening to? Who were the influences musically on your young life?
Yeah, well, when I was a kid, I started out singing sort of Disney songs, you know, because that's sort of what I was watching. So The Lion King and, you know, all that sort of stuff, Little Mermaid, were big effects on me as a kid. And then when I was about 9, I saw a movie called Coal Miner's Daughter, which is the autobiography of Loretta Lynn. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's a fabulous movie.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Anyway, so I saw that movie at 9. My dad played it for me, and for whatever reason, her story just totally changed my life. I was like, oh, my God, that's what I want to be when I grow up, a poor hillbilly who, you know, becomes a country music superstar. I don't know. It affected me so much. And sort of from there, I just started going down a little rabbit hole and, you know, found the Dolly Live in London DVD or whatever it was, probably a video tape actually back then, and watched that. That changed my life again. You know, Dolly was a huge effect on me. And then I just kind of went down this rabbit hole of music, and my dad kept putting it on my bed every day. I come home from school, there'd be a new artist or, I don't know, an autobiography or like a film that, you know, is about the history of folk and country music or whatever. You know, it's just like this constant education from my dad growing up. And I was really grateful for that because I got to learn and respect the whole thing, you know, that I was falling in love with, which was music, but specifically country, folk, roots, all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, it was really special getting to sort of have that education from my father.
Coal Miner's Daughter, that changed my life as well. After watching it, I wanted to make moonshine.
Well, it changed your life in a different way then.
It did.
You know, you can get into moonshine making if you want. Yeah. I would think that would be heaps fun. Yeah, do it.
hey, just the local policeman, Damien Meadows. I'm only kidding, Damien.
Surely that's legal. You can make your own beer, so why not?
Oh, well.
Why not your own liquor?
I think you can, as long as you don't sell it. We're talking with country music singer, songwriter and publishing mogul, Catherine Britt. Oh, she is. Now, Catherine, those 6 years in Nashville, I mean, pretty daunting place to head to at the age of 17. What were those early days like in Nashville, and what did those 6 years bring in terms of experience?
Well, so much. I guess it was like going off to uni or college or whatever, you know, to learn all the ins and outs of the business you're about to go into. So it was a great education for me. You know, I was based there for 6 years, and after the 6 years, I kind of wanted to come home and figure out what I wanted to do next. And I realized I'd much rather base myself in Australia and go over there, you know, a few times a year and tour. So I kind of essentially gave my green card back and decided to move home. And
that's a big one.
It was a big decision, but I knew that's what I had to do. You know, I was so homesick, and I just wanted to be grounded again and find my feet. And I knew I could always go there and tour, you know, so I'd just do visas now instead. A green card, you have to be there majority of the time. Visas, you just renew them and you're able to work. So I went down that route instead.
Well, probably now in the year of COVID, you are very happy you're living in Australia.
Yeah, pretty stoked about it. Do miss America, though. I was supposed to be doing a tour over there right about now and then Europe afterwards. So it's a bit of a shame, you know. The whole year's kind of just been written off for musicians. But we're kind of getting back to work now in a small way, COVID-safe gigs. So lots smaller crowds and sort of limited to, you know, you can't dance, all those sorts of things. So it's slowly getting back to normal, but it definitely has been a strange year for music, yeah.
Catherine Britt, I said in the intro that you're someone who protects her own music, copyrights, being truly independent. That's obviously very super important for you.
It is now. This is the first time I've ever been fully independent, except for, you know, when I first started. So, you know, it was important to me. I've got two little boys that are 2 and 1, and I started realizing that they're not going to own the masters of my albums, and they're not going to own my copyright of my songs. And, you know, as you become a parent, you start to realize how important those things are, that you leave a legacy for your children and that, you know, all your hard work goes to them eventually, you know. So I kind of felt it was important to do that move and bring the money back into my household rather into other people's pockets. So we did crowdfund the record, and it's been a pretty scary, huge learning curve, you know, opening my own record label and buying my publishing back and, you know, all this stuff. It took a lot of lawyers and a lot of learning, you know, to figure out what that all means and how to even run a, you know, open a record label and what that means as well. So it's been really interesting, but I feel super empowered as a woman that I've just taken complete control of my career. And, you know, I own everything now and I'm the CEO of my own business properly. No one else is sort of running it but me. So it feels pretty good.
You really took a leaf out of Dolly Parton's book, didn't you?
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, yeah, Dolly Parton is also somebody who is, you know, a true businesswoman at the end of the day. And I respect that. You know, I think if you run your business like, or run your music career like it's a business, then, you know, you're always going to sort of be better at it. You know, like you can't sort of, I winged it for so many years. You know, I was always just like, I love music. This is fun. I don't get paid. I don't care. You know, like you can't always live like that. You can't have a mortgage. You can't have children's food on the table living like that forever. So I do try and run it a bit smart and, you know, but obviously don't take away from the love and the passion that I have for music. You know, so I'm pretty lucky. I guess I get both. Best of both worlds.
Yeah. Of course, the country music scene is scattered with hopes and dreams of artists left broken after bad experiences with record companies where, you know, the dollar is God. I love the song from George Strait and Alan Jackson. I don't know whether you've heard it called Murder on Music Row. It's a great song. Yeah, it's a great song about the almighty dollar being more important, you know, as far as the record company suits are concerned, than the art and the history of this great genre. And so there's a lot of talk about that in Nashville at the moment, about artists owning their own rights and all of that sort of stuff, because, you know, it's not always about the almighty dollar. You should be protected, but so should the art, the genre of country music.
Well, yeah, it's interesting. I wonder if that's even, if that's just a product of the times. You know, I think it's a lot easier to be independent now with, you know, direct access to fans. You know, we literally can talk to them directly through social media, through, you know, different forms of online, you know, platforms. So it kind of changed the dynamics as far as taking power away from the big business and, you know, the record labels. And whereas, you know, when I first started out, you didn't have a career if you weren't signed to a record label. You know, there wasn't really an option. So it's great. You know, it is putting the power back into the hands of the artist. And that, I mean, why wouldn't it be?
Exactly.
In the power of it? But it never has been. And, you know, it's crazy. We write the songs, we do the hard work, but we don't get the money from it. But I do see this happening more and more, that people are taking control of their careers and it's respected now. I think before it wasn't looked upon in a you know, fond light like it is now, you know, so it's great. It's a good time to sort of take the reins and go independent. So I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, we had an interview on the other day with Clint Black, and Clint was talking about the fact of he had to go to an independent situation because the things that they wanted to do was say, well, you just shut up. We'll find the songs for you. You sing them, go in the studio and then check out your bank account. And we have a big bank account and so do you. But he said, no, I don't want to do that. And so he had to go independent as well. And as I said, it's maybe a sign of the times, but it's good now the artists are taking, the artists and the creators, as I call it, creators of something, are taking that power back.
Yeah, definitely. And I think Nashville's another whole other kettle of fish. You know, like they are really a machine that spits out, you know, a certain type of song that goes to radio and Bob's Your Uncle. There's, you know, the process done. And yes, you're right. The artist has nothing really to do with it. It's, yes, this song has been written by somebody that's not you and it's a hit song and you're going to record it and that's the end of it. So it's a different thing again, you know, like we don't really have that machine here in Australia, which I'm grateful for. But I'm also really glad that I learned all of that, you know, at a young age. I learned the ins and outs of what is that side of the music industry, and I don't want to be a part of it. So I'm good making music that makes me happy. You know, so yeah, it's different world.
Good on you. Good on you. We're talking with Catherine Britt. If you look back at that 17-year-old that went to Nashville, now just give some advice to that 17-year-old. What would you tell her?
So much. I guess mostly just to believe in herself, no matter what everyone else says. You know, I was so pushed around from a young age and told things about myself that I now know as a 35-year-old woman weren't true, you know. And I think there's so much pressure to be a certain way and to look a certain way and to do all these stupid things that are not human, when the most beautiful thing is just to be yourself, you know. I think if I just knew that from a young age and I believed that, then I maybe would have been in a different place. I don't know.
I think you're in a pretty damn good place at the moment, Catherine, quite frankly.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, what do you see for the Catherine Britt story over the next, say, half decade or decade going forward? What are your dreams for that time? Or do you just take every day as it comes?
No, I'm a big planner ahead.
Good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess step one is release album number 8, Home Truth, comes out January 15th, and then next year is just full of touring and trying to figure out how and when I'm going to get back to, you know, America and Europe to tour. But mainly, look, my main goals are to sort of grow this record label concept and maybe go a little bit more into sort of, you know, developing young artists. I already do a fair bit of that, but more into producing, more into sort of maybe getting people out on my label and sort of developing and helping shape, you know, new up-and-coming artists and helping them be the best version of themselves. So that's kind of my future goal. And just play music. I mean, I want to just play music forever. I don't want to have to ever get a real job. That'd be really nice if I could do that.
Well, I often tell the listeners that the day I got into media, I didn't work a day in my life again. I love TV and what I did in TV and radio and... You know, it's basically doing your hobby, but you get paid for it.
Yeah, it's just crazy. I don't know how we get away with it.
I don't know. Just don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. Now, Catherine, just to finish this up, you are a true survivor of business and the industry itself, but also of another kind. You're 5 years cancer-free. How did that experience alter you as a person, if it did, and how you approach your music?
Yeah, I mean, it changed my whole outlook on life. Completely, you know. I think when you get faced with something like that, you change everything. You know, you change the way that you look at the world. The whole perception of everything changes. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm a totally different person than I was pre-cancer, in a good way. You know, I remember saying at the time when I got diagnosed that it was the best thing that ever happened to me in some ways. You know, it made me a better person. It made me kinder. It made me more patient. And yeah, I don't know. I think it was a horrible thing to go through, but I'm also really grateful to be one of the lucky ones that came out the other side and survived it and got to have that, you know, gift of hindsight. So I'm very grateful for that.
Good on you. Stay grateful. Catherine, as I said earlier, your brand new single is called Favourite Song. I have to pull you up, though. Where did you learn to spell? Now, favourite is not F-A-V-R-I-T.
No, it's not. But when you read it, it reads favorite. Yeah, like a hillbilly would say it, maybe. I did it that way because I release music internationally, and I know the spelling of favorite varies quite a bit from, you know, especially from America to Australia. So I had to choose a spelling, and I just went with not spelling it anyway, and just spelling it like how it sounds.
I think you're right about the hillbilly. Let me just check that. Just 1 second. I've got a hillbilly in the studio. Just a moment. Could you just talk to Catherine? Well, Shara Ward, she's my favourite singer.
Oh, my gosh. So good.
Thank you so much. Look, but I just happened to have a hillbilly with me, and that's exactly how they say favourite.
Are they your friend that you make moonshine with?
No mention. Everybody now knows the spelling. It's F-A-V-R-I-T. Now, okay, tell us about the song. How did that come to life?
Yeah, I kind of had this idea, you know, around all the sort of big relationships in my life have kind of been based on, you know, music and getting to know somebody through music. And my dad was the first. He introduced me to music as a little girl and showed me his favourite songs and his favourite artists. And that's how we connected and bonded. And, you know, sort of relationships throughout my life have kind of gone that way, you know, like, hey, what's your favorite song? Or, you know, sitting around jamming or whatever, you know, it's just a really great way to get to know somebody and sort of make new friends, you know. So I kind of based the song on that. So the first verse is kind of about my stories of childhood, and then, you know, later in life in the second verse. And I mean, who doesn't, you know, want to share their favorite song with people when they've had a few glasses of wine and they're sitting up and, you know, listening to music? So it, for me, it's just a fond memory and something I base my whole life around. So that's what the song's about.
Well, thank you, Catherine, for talking with us. I know I've gone over time and I do apologise for that. But listen, good luck with your life, your career, and would you like to introduce your own song here on Fab FM First Play today?
I would love to. Thank you so much for your time and support. I really appreciate you playing my music. This is my brand new single, Favourite Song.
Hi, Catherine.
Bye. Thank you.
My earliest memory was riding in my dad's car. I think we went to a football game.